Please stand for today's scripture reading. I never thought I'd be reading the scripture in front of the Parthenon. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were coming together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Let's pray before we get started this morning. Heavenly Father, we seek your blessings upon the service today, the preaching of your word. I pray, Father, that you would help me to get me out of the way, and that your Holy Spirit would fill me, that you would control me, and that I would say only the things that you have for me to say today about this important subject in the Word of God. Lord, all these things I pray and ask in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Brother Mike has been preaching a series on the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to continue that today and finish up this series on the Holy Spirit. Brother Mike's talked about different things about walking in the Spirit and so forth. Today I'm going to talk about the subject itself, be filled with the Spirit. But before I do, how many of you adults remember, I don't know if they still make this product or not, how many of you remember Dove detergent? Anybody remember Dove detergent? I don't know if they still make that or not, but anyway, it's a detergent that they use to wash clothes. Well, this young boy went into a grocery store and he wanted a box of Dove detergent. Well, the grocery store owner wanted to know what he wanted with this box of Dove detergent. And he says, well, I'm going to wash my cat with it. He says, well, son, he said, you don't need to wash your cat with Dove detergent. That might be harmful to it. And all of a sudden, boy said, no, it'll be all right. I need the Dove detergent. So he bought the Dove detergent and he took it home. A few days later, he came back into the grocery store. The grocer looked at him and said, son, how's your cat? And he said, oh, my cat died. And he said, I warned you about washing your cat with Dove detergent. He said, well, it wasn't the Dove detergent that bothered it. It was the spin cycle that got him. So, anyway, he was trying to clean up his act, I guess. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to be looking at some things about being filled with the Spirit. But let me tell you a story about an American who was with an Englishman one day, and they were viewing the Niagara Whirlpool Rapids, when the American said to his English friend, he says, come, and I will show you the greatest unused power in the world. So he took him to the foot of Niagara Falls, and he said, look, there it is, the greatest unused power in the world. To which the other guy said, not so, my friend. He said, the greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of God. Think about that for a minute. You and I, if we're born-again Christians, have within us the Holy Spirit of God, the most unused power in the world. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to answer three questions today. Number one, are you filled with the Spirit of God? I'm going to give you some evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, do you want to be filled with the Spirit of God? And then number three, how can you be filled with the Spirit of God? So those are the three things that we're going to be looking at today. First of all, let me say that every sin falls into one of two categories. There are sins of omission and there are sins of commission. Commission are those sins when God tells us not to do something and we do them. That's a sin of commission or commission, however you want to pronounce it. Those are things that God tells us not to do that we do. But then God also has some things in the Word of God that He tells us to do, and if we don't do those, we are just as guilty of committing sin as the ones of commission. There are several things in the Bible that God tells us to do. For example, He tells us to go to church. Hebrews 10:25, He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We are supposed to go to church. And if we don't go to church, we are sinning against God. But here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, folks, that is not a suggestion. That is a divine command from Almighty God Himself. He tells you and I as Christians to be filled with the Spirit of God. And if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, then we are living in direct disobedience to God Almighty Himself. So the question is, the first question that I want to talk about this morning is, are you filled with the Spirit of God? And we're going to look in this passage right here, and we're going to see some evidences of being filled with the Spirit of God so that you can judge for yourself if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 8 and verse 19, after it says be filled with the Spirit, it says this, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we have a song in our heart, but not only in our heart, but it comes out on our lips. Have you ever seen somebody, like your wife or somebody, standing at the kitchen sink washing the dishes, and as they're washing the dishes, they're singing Amazing Grace or they're singing some gospel hymn? That person has an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it says here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You say, what's the difference? Three different things there. Number one, there's the psalms. We know that the book of Psalms is written mostly by David, and they were actually songs that the Hebrew children sang. Any scripture, whether it's in the Psalms or throughout the New Testament or the Bible at all, if it's been made into a song, it's a song. I remember one that I learned years ago. It comes from the book of Psalms. David wrote this song. I don't know who wrote the music to it, but it goes like this. "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice, he shall hear my voice, evening and morning and at noon." Now that's the example of a psalm that we can learn to sing as we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then we've got the hymns. Everybody knows what a hymn is. We sang some hymns this morning. A hymn is usually what you have in the hymn book. I'm reminded of the song leader that got up one day and said, "We're going to do something a little bit different today." He says, "I'm going to let you choose the hymns." So he says, "Who wants to pick out the first hymn?" And a little old lady in the back of the church stood up, and she began pointing, and she says, "I choose him, and I choose him, and I choose him." Well, that's not the kind of hymns we're talking about. We're talking about hymns like Amazing Grace and Oh, How I Love Jesus and Oh, Victory in Jesus. Singing those hymns are evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it also says, not only that, it says, and spiritual songs. Now, I like this one. Chuck mentioned a while ago that the kids like the fast songs better than they did the slow songs. Now, that last slow song that y'all did, I love that song, you know, beautiful message in that, and that should be the prayer of every Christian. But kids like lively songs, and that's what the word here, spiritual songs, means. It means literally lively songs. There's nothing wrong with having up-tempoed, upbeat songs to sing in your congregation, because that's what the Bible is saying here. So that's an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I never will forget when I was going to Bible college, there was a young man that was blind. He was a black man. He was a young man, probably in his 20s, and he had his little cane, white cane with the red tip on it, and he'd walk all over the campus. And every time you would see him, he wouldn't just be walking. He would have a big smile on his face, and he would be singing some kind of gospel hymn everywhere he went. Somebody stopped him one time and asked him, and I can't remember his name, but they asked him, he said, "Why are you so happy all the time?" And he said, "It's because I'm a member of the 4S Club." And they said, "The 4S Club, what is that?" He said, "I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm single, and I'm searching." And so he was happy because he was a member of the 4S Club. But he went around always singing everywhere he went. He had an evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, the next evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is found in verse 20. It says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that's a very important verse right there. Notice what it says. It doesn't just say giving thanks. It doesn't say that. It says giving thanks always. But it doesn't even stop there. It says giving thanks always for all things. Now that's the hard part. When your car's broke down, when the tornado takes the roof off your house and you got leaks coming down into your house, when you have cancer, it's kind of hard to thank God when those things are going on. But an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that even during those times, you will be able to thank God in all things, for all things. That's an evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God. Here's another one. In verse 21, it says this. I'm going to read the verse 21 and 22. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. And then verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So another evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is submission to the Holy Spirit. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit in everything. Wives, when they submit themselves to their husband, they are showing an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't just say, wives, submit yourselves to the husband. It says this, submitting yourselves one to another. Men, sometimes we have to submit to our wives. That's biblical. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. But here's the thing, husbands, if you really want to know that you're filled with the Spirit of God, notice what it says in verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That's another evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Husbands will love their wives, even as Christ loved the church. You say, well, how did Christ love the church? Well, number one, he loved the church sacrificially. He gave himself for the church. He gave his body to the cross of Calvary, and he shed his blood. That's how much he loved him. Husbands, we ought to love our wives so much that we would be willing to give our lives to protect our wives in any kind of situation that might arise. But not only did he love them the church sacrificially, but he also loved the church unconditionally. By that I mean is he loved the church and didn't expect anything back in return. And that's the way we husbands need to love our wives unconditionally. But here's also another way that Christ loved the church. He loved them with all of his heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So loving husbands, loving your wives, and wives loving your husband, that's another evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's another one, and this is probably one of the most important ones. You will be a bold witness for Jesus. I want to read, make a statement, and then we're going to look at a verse over here in Acts chapter 1. And I know you're familiar with this passage. But let me say this, there is only one baptism in the Spirit, only one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the church. At the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes you, immerses you into the body of Christ, the church. That's spiritual baptism. You have to have that in order to be a child of God. It's absolutely necessary. That spiritual baptism. And water baptism is simply a picture of that spiritual baptism that's already taken place in your life. But let me read you a verse in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Probably one of the strongest evidences of you being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is that you will become a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you go. He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, And most of your people that believe in speaking in tongues believe that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is speaking in tongues. Now, they did speak in tongues on the day of Pentecost. But you know what they were speaking? They were speaking known languages that they had never learned by studying that language. And as a result of knowing, speaking that known language, which is a supernatural gift from God, they were able to witness to all those people that were there on the day of Pentecost, because you had Jews from all over, and some of them didn't speak the same language. They spoke different languages. So the apostles supernaturally spoke their language. And you know what the result was? 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church. So an evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is being a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll say this. There's only one baptism in the Spirit, but there are many fillings of the Spirit. You can have more than one filling of the Spirit, and we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues." Is that what it says in that verse? No. You know what it says? It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. So the main evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is that you will be a bold witness for Christ. And then, of course, another illustration of how you can know that you're filled with the Spirit of God is that you will have the fruit of the Spirit. Let me read Galatians. I know we're familiar with this verse, but I want to read it. Galatians chapter 5. If you're really filled with the Spirit, you should be showing the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So these are all evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So the question is, are you filled with the Spirit of God this morning? Now, if you answered that question no, my next question is this: do you want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Now, most people will say, "Yes, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God." But before you answer that question, let me share with you some things. I want to ask you a series of questions, because a lot of people do not understand what it costs to be filled with the Spirit. It's not easy to be filled with the Spirit of God. But if you really want to be filled with the Spirit of God, here's what you need to do. Number one, if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, desire to be filled with the Spirit, you have to ask yourself this question: do you want to be filled with a Spirit who will demand to be Lord of your life? Now, I've heard people say this over and over again: we need to make Jesus Lord of our lives. I know what they mean when they say that, but we don't make Jesus Christ anything. When we get saved, Jesus is the Lord of our lives. We don't make him Lord. He is Lord. The Bible says you've got to believe on the what? The Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't make him Lord of our lives. Now, we may have to yield ourselves to him for his complete control to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we don't make him Lord. He's already Lord. But when you have somebody as your Lord, that means that he is your boss, he's your ruler, and your controller. Your life will no longer be yours. The Holy Spirit will determine where you go, what you say, what you do. The Holy Spirit will want to be in complete control of your life. He may call you to be a preacher. He may call you to be a missionary. He may want you to teach a Sunday school class. He may want you to major in music and become a choir director or a worship leader. If whatever the Holy Spirit wants you to do, he will want you to do that. Here's the second question: are you willing to let your personality to be taken over by another, even if that Spirit is God himself? If you do, here's what's going to happen. When the Spirit takes charge of your life, he will expect this from you: unquestioning obedience. Not just obedience, but unquestioning obedience. Whatever God tells you to do through his Holy Spirit, you need to do it without asking any questions. Sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes he may ask us to do some things that we don't think we ought to do. But here's number two question: he will not tolerate in your life the self-sins that are prevalent in most Christians. Most Christians have a lot of self-sins. You say, what are they? Self-love, self-pity, self-righteousness, self-seeking, self-confidence, and self-defense. A lot of times when somebody accuses us of something, what do we want to do? Immediately, we want to defend ourselves. We've got to get rid of all that if the Holy Spirit is going to be Lord of our life. Number three, he will take the direction of your life away from you. He will reserve the right to test you, to discipline you, to chasten you for your own soul's sake. And then number four, he will do this. He will strip you of many of the worldly pleasures that so many Christians have in their lives today. The Bible in the book of Hebrews says, lay aside every weight. It doesn't say sin, but every weight that so easily besets us. So anything that's going to keep us from hindering God, the Holy Spirit may take that away from us. And then number five, you may be called upon to suffer for the cross of Christ just as other Christians did in the past. That's what it's going to cost you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the bottom line is this: if you really desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, every part of you, your body, soul, and spirit, you must be given totally over to the Lord. So the third and final question is this: how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? If you really desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, here's some steps that you can take. Many people believe that this filling of the Holy Spirit is just for certain believers, such as the pastor, the youth leader, the missionary, the song leader, or the Sunday school teacher. But it's not. The Spirit-filled life is for every child of God. It's the normal Christian life. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're not living a normal Christian life. Ephesians 5:18, as we read earlier, is a command. It's not a suggestion. God says, be filled with the Spirit of God. So every born-again Christian can and should be living a Spirit-filled life. Here's how you do it. Number one, before you can be filled with God's Spirit, you must desire it above everything else. You have to really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask yourself this question. What's the most important thing in my life? Is it my job? Is it my finances? Is it my family? If those are more important to you than being filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll never be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You have got to make it the most important thing in your life. You've got to desire it more than anything else. Somebody made this statement. We can have as much of God as we actually want. I disagree with that statement. Because when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. The Holy Spirit is a person. When He comes into our heart, we get all of God we can get. We get all the Holy Spirit. We don't just get part of Him. We get all of Him. But here's the thing. Once we get the Holy Spirit, we have all of God we can get. But the Holy Spirit can get more of us. That's what being filled with the Spirit of God. It's not us getting more of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit getting more of us. He wants every aspect of our life to be yielded to Him. Let me read you this little poem. This is the secret of the holy. Not our holiness, but Him. Jesus, empty us and fill us with Thy fullness to the brim. That ought to be our prayer. God will not fill a dirty vessel. That's why the next step in being filled with the Spirit of God is that you must confess all known sin in your life. If you've got some secret sin or some sin in your life that you know that you're doing and you shouldn't be doing, or if there's something that God has told you to do that you're not doing, until you confess that and forsake it, you'll never be filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's Proverbs 28:13. So not only do you have to confess your sin, but you have to forsake it. You have to turn away from it. And make a commitment to God not to commit that sin again. So you've got to do that in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because God will not fill a dirty vessel. And then next thing you got to do is you got to present your body a living sacrifice. We're all familiar with Romans 12:1-2, where the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, there has to come a point in time in your life where you simply throw your hands up and surrender to God and say, God, here I am, I'm yours, you do with me what you want to do. When you can get to that point in your life, then you can be filled with the Spirit of God, but not until then. The next step is found in Luke chapter 11. Let me turn over there. I want to read this to you. Luke chapter 11. After you've done these other steps, the next thing that you have to do is that you have to ask God to fill you with the Spirit. Luke chapter 11. Verse 9 and 10 says this. It says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. When you've done all these other steps that we've already talked about, then you need to ask God, God, here I am. I've presented my body a living sacrifice. I want you to fill me with your Spirit. What's going to happen? There's another step that you have to take, according to Acts chapter 5. Let me turn over there. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. It says this, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit of God unless you're willing to obey Him in all things. You've got to ask Him to fill you. Then you've got to be willing, no matter what He tells you to do, if it's to be a preacher, to be a missionary, to be a Sunday school teacher, you've got to be willing to obey Him in all these things, or you'll never be filled with the Holy Spirit. And after you've done that, there's another thing that you have to do. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2 says this. Are you so foolish, having begun... let's go back. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit how? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now here's what you've got to do. When you ask Jesus Christ to fill you with your Holy Spirit, you've got to believe that he does it. It's just like getting saved. When you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have to believe God that he saved you. And if you ask Jesus to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and you've committed yourself to obeying everything that he tells you to do, then just say, God, I believe it. You're filling me with your Holy Spirit right this very moment. You know how I know he'll do that? Because it said here, let me ask you this question. Do you think it's God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Sure it is. And God says if you ask anything according to his will, he heareth it and he will answer that prayer. So if you ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, then he will fill you because he cannot lie and he said, I'll do it. So these are some steps that we need to take in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's another question I want to ask you. Will people be able to tell if you're really filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I believe they will. I believe you'll be a changed person. And here's some changes that will take place. Number one, you will be faithful to the house of God. Anybody that claims to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and is not faithful to the house of God, they are not filled with the Spirit of God. Because that Holy Spirit that lives in you will lead you to come to the house of God. You will have a song in your heart and you'll have a song on your lips. We've already talked about that. You will be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. I remember I used to go in Anchorage, Alaska. I used to go to the airport in Anchorage, Alaska when I was in the military. And I would go to the airport and I'd find people that were waiting to get on their airplane and go, you know, somewhere on the airplane. And I would sit down next to them and I'd begin talking to them and I'd begin witnessing to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Led several people to the Lord in the airport. And you don't see that normally. People might think you're crazy. You get so bold in your witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's some other evidences that they'll see in your life. You will be more patient, more caring, more loving. You will have in your heart the peace of God that passes all understanding, and you'll be gentler and kinder. People will see in you a changed life. So, how about it, Christians? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The choice is yours. You have to make that decision. Anybody here that is not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you need to realize that if you are not filled with the Spirit of God, you're living in direct disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read this poem, and then I want to do a song for you this morning. Savior, fill me with thy Spirit as I seek and wait and pray. Bend and break me, blessed Master, make me wholly thine today. Lord, I bow in full surrender, yielding all I have to thee. Come and fill me with thy Spirit, sanctify thyself in me. I would tarry in thy presence till endued with power and love. I would know the mighty fullness of thy Spirit from above. Will he come in all his fullness? As I now obey thy call? Yes, oh yes, for thou hast promised, if I come, confessing all. If we come totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, willing to obey him, God will fill us with his Spirit. At this time, I want to do a song for you. I hadn't done one in a while, but the Lord kind of laid this one on my heart because what this song... Nope. Not on there. I just played it before I came over here. All right. The song's not going to work, so I won't get to do it for you. But David, if you'll come up, we'll have a song of invitation then. We had this problem before, didn't we? We had it on a disc. I had a song on the disc, and it wouldn't play on theirs, but it plays on mine at home. So I don't know what the deal is with that. But anyway, we'll just have a song of invitation here. If you want to come today and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit, please stand. You feel free to come and take a place at the altar and ask God to fill you with his Spirit.